to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters across this little pearl hanging in space, being wobbled about by great big things, a little bauble of blue and green, and I'm on one part of the bauble, and my guest tonight is on another part of the bauble. Bless your heart, the Elder Two Dog, how are you?
Osio. I'll see you to the world.
So, you're coming across really nicely now, so I'm very pleased you've got a new microphone, and people can hear the subtleties of your intonation now.
Oh, let's stay.
So, you've been on the radio today, have you?
I got called into a station over in California. And, basically we're discussing the United States political situation, world problems that we're seeing worldwide. Man, it's just sickening, truthfully.
So, it just seems that everything seems to be mounting up and mounting up and mounting up. You know, things don't seem to be getting better. Things seem to be getting worse. But they said that would happen, didn't they?
Yeah, they said that would happen. But you look at this this situation. If you look at the problems they're having in the Middle East with Syria, you had 4 children got killed in a war plane bombardment over there, and there's pretty much a civil war going on over there. And of course America's kind of worried about the nuclear problem in Iran, and United States political election this year, when really truthfully I'm more, to be honest with you, I would be more scared of Romney than Geeta one we got.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to even care very much.
Well, this situation, a lot of people, are asking me, that I've met, is they want a explanation, for myself on why I'm so afraid of this man. Well, number one, he's rich as he can be. He really don't really need to do anything, but he's doing it. I watched him over in Israel when he went to Israel, and it was broadcasted to where he said, told the nation of Israel to go ahead and start a war with Iran, and America will back him up. Well, who is this guy? He's not a great leader of the United States yet. Now, why would you tell someone to start a war unless you're a war pig yourself?
He must be one of the chosen people.
I don't know about you.
The people who have been chosen to be president.
Well, see, this is the situation that I'm encountering. Mm. Okay, with this is okay. What if the people, you're telling the people to vote, which that's all right, that's understandable. But what if you vote anyway, and they already know who's going to get this. So if he went over and told Iran, Israel to go ahead and start a war with Iran, do the powers to be already know that he's going to be a president of the United States?
I think they do. I think, on their side of the game, it's just a joke to them. You know, the whole idea that we're being given a choice of any kind of choice at all. There's lots of circuses and ponies and shows and debates.
If you look at the political situation of it, JP, here in America, you got Democrat and you got Republican, okay? Well, truthfully, you don't have a choice because really they're the same.
That's right.
And if you wish to, here in America, we got a running joke between the Indian people, okay? If you believe the government's telling the truth, then go ahead and ask an Indian.
It's true. I mean, it may be the fact that you've been lied to for hundreds of generations and that you still, you have a group memory of it.
Well, 600 years here.
Yeah. And it may be partly that you're not... I mean, they've tried as much as they can to wipe you guys out without any success. In fact, it's made you stronger.
We've had treaties, each nation.
Yes.
Here on Turtle Island, we, six nations in Canada, all the nations here in the United States, Mexico, United States, Canada. The thing of it is, we've had treaties with these people, so they also know that we are nations. And we're sovereign nations to the United States, okay? But every treaty we have ever had with the United States or that entity, well, I'll just say it that way, has been broken and has not been broken by us. And from what I've understood, now this is what some of my brothers have said, is by the year 2000, all treaties with the United States were supposed to be null and void because they thought by the year 2000 that the United Nations inside Turtle Island would not be here.
Yeah. Great, eh?
Well, if you hold another treaty with them, what are they going to do? Are they going to do the right thing or are they going to break the treaty?
Yeah. Well, they seem to have broken every single treaty that has come up and tried to murder everybody who was on the other side of the treaties as well, again, without success. And now it's time, I think, for the wave to start rolling back because they're getting more and more blatant and arrogant, and it's time to stop this madness.
Well, that's one of the reasons, JP, that I'm just going to say this. I was just on in California, and I'm on with Tracy sometimes, and God bless her. Grandfather bless her with all my heart. I love her with that. She's a strong woman. I do Buffalo Talk, of course, on, occasions on Wolf Spirit Radio. Bless you, Dave. I love you, brother. I've actually been contacted by a radio station. Of course, I do one with you in Scotland. And I was just contacted by a radio station in Ireland. So, the way I look at it, there's a Lakota word meaning Mitakwa Asiowesan, which means we're all related.
Yeah, I love
that. Nakoyati, all my relations. And truthfully, it doesn't matter what race, creed, or color you are, truthfully, because we all love our families. We all have a creator, no matter what you call him. And every spirituality and every religion is based on love. Supposed to be, okay? Now, some have used the name of God to annihilate people, which I don't see on the world that can be. But the world's got to understand that we are the two-legged animal no matter what, but we are the only animal on the face of the earth as far as any animal in general that kills for the sake of killing and have more greed than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, and this seems to, I mean, that goes along with fear. You know, all of these negative emotions, they always come down to the fear. Suspicion,
I agree with you.
You know, hatred.
Let me explain the fear part if I can.
Yeah.
Here on Turtle Island, I can only explain that. I can't explain it anywhere else because I haven't been there. But this is, as far as fear is concerned, with the ones that came here, let's look at it this way. If you're afraid of something, if you kill it, you don't have to be afraid of it anymore. That's their thought, okay?
That's right, yeah. That's the thinking. It's not very good thinking. Go ahead.
No, it's not very good thinking. If we're supposed to be the, you know, as far as human being, it is said that the human being, the human animal, is the only animal that can think clearly, okay? And that's ridiculous, because I've seen wolves think more clearly than we do sometimes. The fact of the matter is, the more people that are afraid of something or don't understand anything, it's basically intelligent to them if they kill anything, or what they're afraid of, then they don't have to see it anymore, which means they can, you know, build their own and not be afraid of it anymore. See, that's ridiculous thinking. Instead of trying to talk, they murder. And I did say murder because that's what they did.
Absolutely. It's cold and it's
cold, calculated.
Calculating, and it's driven from fear. And it really, you know, it's like, I suppose it's the same attitude as, you know, not wanting to see beggars on the street, not wanting to be reminded that there are fundamental flaws in your philosophy.
Well, within America, I'll tell you the truth. Within America now, I've been on the street, I've lived in cardboard boxes before, I've slept in that. I've actually had to figure out, okay, what do I want for supper here? That looks good, so I'll hang out till they throw everything in the dumpster, and then they're dumpster diving, you know?
Mm.
That happens here.
Yeah.
The situation is, you know, I'm still getting calls from other Native people telling me, well, this one got killed, that one got killed. It's ridiculous in itself, all right? But my main viewpoint is, you know, they have now called me a peacekeeper, which that's just floored me, because, you know, I've been a warrior most of my life, so if that's a new journey for me, that's good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what I'm talking to, you know, people in England, Scotland, Ireland, United States, Canada, you know, is that we got to wake up and understand that we are all related.
Yes.
We all are responsible for what we do.
Yes. And anything that you do to somebody, you do to yourself.
Sure.
It comes back.
Now, if I may say this, and I'm going to go to the Bible on this deal.
You may.
Okay. This is the thing that I'm going to say to people. When they come here, it was said they came here because of religious persecution. Okay, they come here for religious persecution. Now, it says in the Bible, from my understanding of it, to lift up your instruments to the Creator. Okay? And it says that in the Bible, from my understanding. Now, when they come here, we had the drum, and we were lifting up our instruments to the Creator. Now, without knowing of the Bible of that time, weren't we doing the same?
Yeah.
But see, when we did the same, we were considered barbarians, savages, non-human.
Well, you didn't walk around in trousers and suits, did you?
Yeah.
Or whatever the fashion was at the time.
Well, see, a lot of people do not know this, but I'm going to say this anyway. One of the reasons that we were called Redskin in the first place was George Washington all the way up to Andrew Jackson. They used to skin us and make the pants out of us.
Oh.
And our skins were redder than other people when they did this. So that was when we were started to be called that.
Well, let's have a quick look. let's lift up that little cover there. Because this is something that you've mentioned before on the shows, and it's absolutely horrific. Because you've spoken before, and you know, I don't doubt this, because you know, we know that people always knew that people in the past were crazier than we are, but it seems that how do I start this conversation?
Any way you wish.
It's difficult because you know this is something that we really need to apologize on a huge scale for, and this is that Indians were eaten, you know, they were used as food, used as cattle, the same attitude, and I'm wondering.
We have a thing in Alabama called Horse Pen 24 or 44. 24 or 44. And that was during the Trail of Tears of the Salagi and the Choctaw people. That's where they held us, you know, in a big area.
It's like a concentration camp.
How they were moving us from the east to the west, okay?
Mm.
And they held us in Horse Pen 24 at a certain place in Alabama until they got it, you know, able to move again to Oklahoma. So, yeah, we kind of heard it back in the day, too.
Mm. Yes. I think it's absolutely, it's horrific and shameful. It's shameful. Go ahead.
I tell you this, brother. Now, you know me. I don't cuss a word if I can help it on radio.
No.
And I'm not going to cuss, but I'm going to cuss one time. I'm going to give you this warning. I'm fixing to cuss. You ready?
Can
Are
I
you
go
ready
beep?
For it?
Yeah, go.
Andrew Jackson, there I did it.
Right, okay. So I'm in Britain, and I don't know who Andrew Jackson is or was.
Well,
so
you need to go to history book and check this guy out.
Okay, so who was he as far as the world is concerned just now?
Well, Andrew Jackson was called Old Hickory at one time over here.
Old Hickory?
He was like a big hickory tree, you know, you just couldn't take him down.
Oh, a really hard wood, right, okay. Yep.
Yeah, basically, he fought in against the what they called the Red Sticks over here. There was a band of Indian people. Matter of fact, Sam Houston was involved in that. He fought in the 1812 war. He was one of the against the British and the American people. He also had different. He had the black people fighting with him. He also had pirates that actually fought with him. and certain Indian groups that fought with him. Okay, he was one of what they called the heroes of 1812, in the War of 1812 here in America. All right, and when he got to be the president of the United States, he didn't listen to Congress. He did what he wanted to do. He said, "Let them bite, chew on that." Okay. Now he did state that the Indian people in the East have to be moved to concentration camps in the West. Okay, and that's where the Indian Removal Act came in.
Indian Removal Act. Yeah, the equivalent over here was called the clearances.
Mm-hmm.
Where they moved all the Scots out of the land so that they could have some nice places to grow their trees and things.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but what they started with the Scots in Scotland, they perfected on us.
Yeah.
You know. And within the Trail of Tears, there was a Cherokee man that fought with Andrew Jackson at the War of 1812, and he stated that if he knew what Andrew Jackson was going to do as the President of the United States against his people, he would have shot him in the back.
Yeah, so would I, I think, and I'm not a violent man.
If he knew what Andrew Jackson was going to do, he would have shot him on the battlefield. That's what he said.
Yeah. So that's Andrew Jackson, Mr. Sellout number one.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, one Indian man said a long time ago, I can't exactly tell you his name or nothing of this sort, but he said that America, Turtle Island was big enough and there was enough land for everyone.
Apparently there's enough land in Texas for the entire planet.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you what, Sam Houston was adopted really by the Salagi. And what he stated one time when there was a council with a few nations, of course, he was drunk at the time he said it, so we didn't really, you know, say, okay, that's a good idea. But what he said was, he'll take all the nations, every indigenous nation in Turtle Island, and place them all in Texas at the time, and dare the United States to come after them.
So, well, there's Andrew Jackson, and so bringing that forward to today, there's still the attitude is still there, isn't it?
Well, let's look at it this way. You go, does the spirit of Andrew Jackson still live? Okay, and then you look at the. Oh, gosh, let me go a little bit here. Forgive me for this, but, you know, I saw this myself when I watched this man.
Yeah, go ahead.
Does the spirit of Andrew Jackson still live? Well, we had George W. Bush. So, yeah, the spirit of Andrew Jackson still lives in the White House, didn't it?
Right. So, you know, there's all these ideas about my mind has sort of tangentially gone off a bit, and I'm just wondering what the native view of what we call in the West reincarnation is.
Reincarnation. Well, I used to have a recurring dream of actually being ended. I've watched my daughter be massacred. I've watched my wife being shot. And I've also watched myself be killed in this dream.
Oh.
And I'm here today. Now, was that a dream of yesterday? that, you know, makes me who I am today, as far as a recurring entity. Now, as far as reincarnation, there's many of us that have dreams of being something or someone else within time. Now, can we do this or can we not? Well, in the spirit world, you're able to do many, many things. But will a creator bring you back as someone else or something else? If the creator is, if the creator can do all things, JP, I basically think he could do that.
Well,
if you wish to.
Yep, certainly, and certainly if we need to learn lessons and learn lessons of, you know, you may not be able to learn a lesson in one lifetime. You may have to learn the lesson of the people that you victimize, for instance. If you, you know, somebody was a cruel, victimizing person, that they would then find themselves back on the, in the hands of somebody like that and know what
sure.
it felt like.
Sure.
That seems natural to me.
It's a natural thing to me.
Yeah.
I would think that if you do wrong in this world, whether it's in this world or in the spirit world, if you do wrong and you never ever walk right in this journey, then Creator can let you see these things.
Yeah.
It's simple. If the Creator can do all things and He created all this upon the earth, which we're related to, then don't you think He can do that if He wished to?
Of course. Of course. So we can all learn.
Well, see, we're all spirits in a three-dimensional shell, okay?
Yeah. A skin suit, as Thomas calls it. I love that way.
Thomas calls it a skin suit. Mm-hmm. I agree with White Horse Standing that we are all spirits in a three-dimensional shell.
Mm-hmm.
That when our bodies go back to our mother, as far as the earth mother is concerned, and your bones go back to her, you start your journey to the spirit world. But see, this is the thing. When Wovoka come and started the ghost dance and started talking to the people, he said, you know, don't kill your brother. Love your brother. No more stealing. But this is one thing that the white robes did not tell us. Okay, and he's talking about the Catholics. Bless, you know, bless your heart. I'm not jumping on you.
The white robes.
But what he said was the white robes did not tell you that all the Indian that has went to the spirit world, all your relations that you have watched die, or in the spirit world, they're in the sky world, they're waiting on you, they're happy. And I expect that when I go, I will see my cousin that I watched got shot in the head. And I will see my grandfathers and my grandmothers and all my relations that I have known in my day and some that I haven't known. I'll be able to sit in a great council with them.
And so when now there's also a lot of speaking, you know, in quiet times, is that what we call the dream world is more real than what we call the real world. Could you share some of the teaching on that?
Well, the dream world, okay? If you look at the dream world, all the trouble that we have had in this time, okay, in your minds, in what you see in this world, everything, and then you go to what we call the quiet time, and that's when you hear nothing of the physical world. You close your eyes and you go to sleep. Now, sleep is what we call the quiet time, of course. But once you start dreaming, it doesn't matter how silly you may think the dream is that you're having. To me, dreams are your visions. Dreams are visions of what might have been to what might have be, might be. You know, if you have a silly dream and you can't understand it, it doesn't mean that it is it's just a dream or whatever, it's non-existent. It is what could be. So dreams are visions.
And, yeah, see, one of the things that I've always been, you know, that I'll come out with is you know, you find yourself in all these weird situations in your waking life.
Yeah.
And yet still, there is a symbolism to them. And I often, you know, people, you know, ask me for advice and sort of thing. And sometimes, I'll be... I'll just look at that the story that they just told me, and I said, you know, if you had that experience and it was in a dream, it would have a certain meaning. There would be meaning to these symbols in this dream. How does this make you feel? And so, you know, I've got a phrase which is like, if this was a dream, what would it mean? And so that we find ourselves in this space that is the quote real world, yet it still seems to behave a bit like a dream, doesn't it?
Well, I can say it this way. I had a dream that I was standing next to a corner on a light pole, with a light pole rather, not on it, and this bus came up to see me. The whole bus was full of people. And I got on this bus. Now, 3 years later, let me just show you what I'm talking about. I'm standing on a corner in the middle of San Antonio, Texas, next to a light pole. And what happened was this bus pulled up to me. Of course, it was painted all different colors and flowers and everything on it. And this guy opened the door to this bus, and I got on it. Deja vu.
Yeah.
It was freaky, but I did it, you know.
I have to say that I experienced that, well, in the last couple of years, that experience has been more and more and more. It seems like my entire life I've been having these dreams that I don't remember at the time, but yet I'll move through a situation and I'll, you know, like you're saying, you're standing by the lamppost and the bus comes along, that these bizarre little, these little clips, you know, like film clips, video clips, seem to come back to you.
Well, you know how you're doing something and you get this, you know you did not do this before or haven't been at this one place before.
Yep.
You know you haven't been there, but you get this strange feeling that you've done this before.
Yeah.
You've been here before. And then it happens, the same thing that you thought about. Ooh, this happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can happen.
So, are there any traditional teachings about that? That, you know, that there's, is there in terms of the traditions talking about like the order in which things happen? Because I just want to lay out where I'm getting to is that I often talk about things in the etheric plane. Stuart Swerdlow talks about hyperspace or dream time. Tell me.
I can do it this way. I can do it just this way. There was a battle with the English once, and the Shawandasi people, the Shawnee people, Tecumseh's people, and his brother, the night before the battle, told Tecumseh that I have seen my death. And he goes, oh, no. Go home, do anything, don't go, you know, don't don't get in this battle. And he told him, said, I've seen it. I can't stop this. This is what is to be. And they were fighting. And within that fight, Tecumseh's brother got shot. He died there.
Wow.
So a lot of times when you see things in your dream, it's there for a reason, and you can't stop the what is to be.
That's very interesting. So there is a very strong tradition that dreams and quote reality have a flow one from the other. Yeah.
Within my world, in my time, mm-hmm. you know, in my dreams, and ever since I was a kid, I seen what was going to happen to me, but I knew what I had to do too.
Mm.
And I went and done it.
Presumably and these were not particularly pleasant things that happened.
No. It wasn't a particularly... when there's a 12-year-old child fighting a burial ground, he doesn't really want to get jumped and beat half to death by 18-year-old white kids, you know?
Yeah.
But I saw it. I knew it was coming. But I wasn't, you know, I was speaking for the ancestors, too.
Mm.
Well, at the time, I felt like it's better to give a voice to those who could not speak for themselves than to worry about myself.
Yeah.
What is to be is going to happen. No matter what.
That's right. So, coming back to the present situation...
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we're talking about at the beginning of the program. The thing is going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better, as they say. Lots of people say that. That there's, you know, so many plans that are taking away our freedoms, literally as we speak. I mean, this is it's all happening now.
I can say this for you. Here in America, now I can just say this. They said that there's going to be more people than you can actually imagine in prison. Okay. And John Trudell said this one time, and like I said, he's been a mentor of mine since Alcatraz in 69. When the American Indian Movement took over Alcatraz, okay? He also stated that there was going to be a futuristic police state, okay? In America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're already in that. You take me, I don't bother anyone. But I've actually been bothered by the police many times because they were afraid of me where I used to live, and I didn't do anything to anybody. But you never know here if you go on your front porch and take a great big breath whether somebody's going to come after you with a badge and a gun for something you did not do. There's more people in the prison system right now in America that did not do anything.
Nothing.
Leonard Peltier, for one.
So it's very much like the Russian gulags, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they would just taking it, and it seems to be it's all about mind control, thought control, trying to keep the lid on this on the big lie, you know, and.
Yeah.
I believe that Native Turtle Islanders are allergic to lies, as I am.
Well, see, this is the way about traditional Indian people. Now, I'm just saying traditional Indian people now. One about the thing about us, our traditional Indian people, is if we have to lie about something, we won't say nothing at all. That's the point. I have never seen a traditional indigenous man or woman, or even child for that matter, that if they have to lie, they're not going to say nothing. They have always been like that. And I was fortunate enough to meet the great-grandchild of Sitting Bull. And he looked at me at a powwow. We was at a powwow together. I never met the man before. We called they called him Tenkashla, grandfather, all the time. So I honored him and called him that too. And he said, he looked at me. He seen that I was worried about something. And he just looked with me without his knowledge. And I was thinking of this. And he said, "Don't worry. Small bands defeat nations."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, what a word. And I was worried about that.
Yep. That's a truism and a truth. And because small bands run countries.
Sure we do. I got a small band myself.
Yeah.
I got two clans and a very small band here, you know. And, of course, we're not going to stop doing what we're doing no matter what they do.
Mm.
But if you look at American history, and we're just going back about, oh, I'd say 12 years, all right? I saw, now this is just my viewpoint, I saw the dumbest individual on the face of this planet become the president of the United States. And within 8 years, he bankrupted this country. Now, if you listen to Obama, whether you like President Obama or whether you don't, President Obama stated these words: "It's going to take 10 years to fix what George Bush messed up."
So elect me for 12? Maybe not. but yeah. So, you've drawn an interesting parallel between Andrew Jackson and George W. Bush. Who came after Andrew Jackson?
That, you know, I really...
Oops, sorry. No, I don't mean to put you in a spotlight. Oop.
When it comes to... let's put it this way. I have to say it this way. When it comes to the Great White Fathers,
yeah,
I really don't pay attention that much to them. I just know that the old presidents from George Washington all the way up to George W. Bush,
mm-hmm,
they're not going to tell you the truth except now. I will give exceptions. The exceptions to the heroes that I've always had was indigenous heroes, of course, but my heroes also was Martin Luther King, was what he stood for, you know, exactly what I understood, and Robert and John Kennedy. Now, if you go back to John Kennedy could have been one of the greatest leaders this country has ever had.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons, you know, that they wanted to get rid of him, because he was, you know, he wanted to set things right. And
if you allow me.
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things with John Kennedy was, they said that this one guy could shoot this gun, that you could not actually shoot that fast, you know, to be able to kill the president of the United States. Now, I did watch him when he was hit in the back. His arms went up to his throat, and the bullet come out his throat and hit the governor in the next seat. Okay. I saw that. That could have been enough to kill him right there. But as he was moving further, a bullet struck him in the side of the head. He went sideways and blew the side of his head off. So that tells me there was more than one shooter. And when it comes to Lee Harvey Oswald, I believe Lee Harvey Oswald was just a guinea pig. He was just he was there to get caught.
Yeah. Well, we know about MK Ultra now. We didn't know about it then.
With you,
yeah.
I did hear that since John Kennedy was going to try to stop the Vietnam War while he was in office, they didn't want that stopped because war makes money. And Vietnam was a political war.
I have never managed to figure out. I mean, from the perspective of, I grew up in Britain, and we were enjoying a relative peacetime. We were kind of relieved that the war was over. In Britain, the war was the Second World War, which ended I grew up in the 60s, so it was already like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like the early 90s now. And so, you know, when we're, you know, the war is over and we're rebuilding from after the war. But it's a whole different thing in the States because the Second World War never really stopped. It's just,
no.
You've just gone from one place to another with the same machinery, improving it to make it more and more deadly, and less people having to do it.
One thing I can tell you, JP, is this. When it comes, now, America as a country, I would say a country, it's only been here a little over 200 and some odd years. Okay? It's been at war since it started, as far as the country is involved. American Indian people have fought with America also, against and with America since it existed. When you look at the War of 1812 with Andrew Jackson, the Cherokee people also fought, some of the Cherokee people also fought with Andrew Jackson in 1812, and what did he do? He put our people in a what they call Trail of Tears in a concentration camp.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Okay. Now, if you look at World War II, when we were trying to stay out, the government of America was trying to stay out of World War II until Pearl Harbor and the Japanese people, right? When they bombed Pearl Harbor. And that's pretty much when we got into World War II. All right?
Yeah.
Now, this is the thing that I have to bring up. Within this World War II, fighting against Germany and Japan, East Germany and Japan with the Nazis and Japan, all right? If it wasn't for the Comanche and the Navajo code talkers, okay, we would have lost that war.
Yes.
Because the codes that were given out by the United States were getting taken. They were getting taken by the enemy. So when the Comanche code talkers and the Lakota, they're thinking about me, and the Navajo come in, they were given their own language, they're allowed to speak their own language and give these codes out. Okay? And that's never been broken yet, that code.
It's interesting. It's a completely other language, isn't it?
The way I look at it, a lot of times, I talk to, people, I will say something like "arigato" or something to them. They go, "What?" Then I'll say, "Thank you."
Yeah.
You know?
And that was Japanese.
American Indian people have been involved in every war that the United States has had.
Yeah. Yeah. A natural resource. And, you know, the white people are treated just the same, but in a, you know, it appears to be subtly different. But they're still treated in, you know, the same disrespect is paid towards the white people,
well,
and the brown people and all the other
people.
The
thing that I'm saying, mm-hmm. JP, mm-hmm. in America, okay, as far as the black, white, yellow, red that are in the United States, okay, I'm talking about the poor white people.
Yep.
The poor blacks, the poor Asians, and the poor Indians. And forgive me if I missed any on this round table that we're doing back and forth.
There might even be some poor Jews and poor Catholics.
Oh, absolutely. Poor Jewish people, poor Catholic people. It doesn't matter. Whoever's here in the United States, okay? I agree with a great activist for the American Indian Movement and for, you know, for his people, Russell Means, okay? And one of the things I'm saying to that is, ladies and gentlemen of the four directions that live on Turtle Island right now, is welcome to the reservation.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing I can say.
Yep, and nowadays they call them FEMA camp. A few years ago they called them concentration camps. You know, earlier on they called them work camps, whatever it is, you know, put a ring around all the people who won't become like us, really. I think that's really the back line of that.
Yeah, if you look at this in World War II, let's look at World War II for a second, and the Asian Americans that were born here, okay, they made concentration camps for the Asian Americans that were born here because of Pearl Harbor and having to go into war with Japan. Okay, they actually made concentration camps for them.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay. Now, if you go back to the reservations with my people, it's a concentration camp. That's what it was. And then you go and look at Hitler with the concentration camp and the killings of the Jews, all right? Hitler said that Andrew Jackson had the right idea for these Indian people, and made the concentration camp because of the United States history book. Based on the model of how the United States dealt with the Indian problem, he said. Mm. Now, if you look at, if you go and look, you can do this on YouTube, of course. If you go and look at this great bit, in 1946, they dug a hole, the Nazis did, and the bodies that were in the hole in 1946, and then go to 1890. With wounded knee, and then see if you see a difference. I think not.
Not much. And, you know, Two Dog, I read something that was really, I mean, I suppose I'm still vibrating a bit from this thing that I read yesterday. And it's something that happened 60 years ago. It was, there were recordings that were made in the prison camps that held the German pilots that had been shot down and captured.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, all the camp was completely wired up for sound, you know. They had Big Brother sorted. And they recorded it, and they transcribed it.
Yeah.
And the things that they were talking about, these German soldiers were... and you hear it all over the world with all sorts of soldiers, you know, how much fun they had killing people, how much fun it was to rape women, how much fun it was to shoot up elderly women or babies.
Yeah.
They loved shooting babies, sticking them on a pitch, you know, all of this stuff. It's, there's a spirit there.
Sure.
That they are, it is pressed into, they are mind controlled into that, because a real human being could never even contemplate that, and it's shocking, and I shouldn't be shocked, because I know what they're like, well, but reading the details and reading that people really, really, actually, individually felt this way,
yeah,
I suppose I've been feeling sad today, and maybe that's part of it. It's part
well,
of it.
I'll tell you what. Now, understand something. I don't hate America. I don't hate America. I love Turtle Island. I live here. But it's what people do to people, okay, that I despise. I mean, you know, you look at it. They landed in 1492. It's 2012 right now. And police officers that are supposed to serve and protect you are shooting elders in the back because he was deaf and could not hear this individual.
Mm.
So, you look at human society as far as two-legged, okay? Number one, with the white community, as far as the white government, I put it that way, not the people living here, is that they have forgotten, as far as European people here, that they were once tribal people.
Mm.
Because you look at the tribes of Europe when they fought the Roman Empire. So there were tribes of Europe.
All right, I have another definition for you. We were talking about, you know, humans and animals, and humans are the only ones that do this and who mm-hmm. kill for pleasure and all that stuff. I'm going to add another one. Humans are the only true programmable beings.
Oh. Let's put it this way.
It's the pinnacle of robotic breeding.
You can say, let's put it this
way. How about
that? You can say that you have tamed a normal house cat. Okay?
There she is over there. Yeah, in her box.
Well, see?
Yeah.
You can say you've trained that normal house cat, okay? But if you allow it to go outside and then you watch it, it crouches down when there's a bird right there. You can see that lion,
yeah,
integrity still inside that cat. Okay? Now, if you look at the whole world in general, the animal kingdom, okay? And then look at the two-legged animal upon this. Yeah, everybody goes, well, we're human, we're not animal. You're a mammal. That's number one. As a human, you're a mammal. Okay? You're the two-legged animal upon this planet. The main factor to every animal is that the two-legged are the only animal upon this planet that kills for the sake of killing. The only one.
Yeah.
I mean, look how they do. They think now that they can do better than the Master of Life or God, Jesus, whatever you wish to call him, Wakan Tonka, whatever. But they'll only get so far till the creator goes, no, 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 that's my job, back off. And you can't. They only get so far till the creator says no. And then you got to go back down and be humble again, see?
Yeah. So, Tudog, I'd like to thank you for coming and talking with me this afternoon.
My honor.
It's your radio day today.
Evidently.
Excellent, excellent. So bless your heart. Thank you for coming on, and a very deep and healing conversation. I think this is why we need to speak. We've got all these things going on. Interestingly, I have a girlfriend from Berlin.
Well, see, this is the thing, my brother. And I want to thank you, my Scottish brother. I will say that. And understand that I have a Indian friend of mine that is half Cherokee and half Scottish. And he is a leader here in Tennessee. And it's the clan system, my man, that brung your people and my people together.
Yeah.
And it's been my honor to be on your show today.
Thank you very much. So that's Journeys with JP. We'll be back on Sunday. I'll be speaking this month to Amy Steinberg, Robert Morningsky, and Alex Collier. Check it out. Wolf Spirit Radio. Now, those of you still on Wolf Spirit Radio, I hope to be able to bring Hijacker in so that he can continue his show, unless we've got some scheduled shows.
Oh.